Hey everybody, and welcome to Real Talk with Doug and Jeremy. We're just two insignificant views on film. Check us out at realtalkfilm.com. You can also visit our Facebook at facebook.com/realtalkfilm or Twitter at twitter.com/realtalkfilm.
What is up, Doug?
What up?
What up, everybody? You know what? I got this playing in the background. I just figured we enjoy it for about 15 seconds before we get sued. It's a great song.
So good.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's all we can legally share.
You know what's funny though is that iTunes can share 90 seconds. Like you could get in much more trouble with iTunes than you can with just somebody being like, "All right, here's 10 seconds."
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't you just rip 90 seconds from iTunes if somebody wanted to rip it anyways?
I don't know.
It don't make no sense.
It doesn't.
We have made it to episode 41. We are 11 episodes away from 52.
Whoa.
That means one full year anniversary.
Yeah, I would be more interested on the actual start date as opposed to how many episodes we've done, just because we've missed a couple of weeks here and there.
It'd be interesting to see. I guess I'd have to look at the metadata from episode one.
Yeah.
The Emperor Strikes Back. Or something.
Right.
Did you see the news that they're actually coming up with maybe, possibly, I don't know, of a certain name for the new Star Wars?
Oh, no. What?
Yeah, they possibly, it's supposed to tie in with the first A New Hope, and it's something like, I forgot now.
The Last Hope.
The Last Hope, no. It's just a rumor at this point, but anyways, I forget.
A Hope.
I don't even know why I brought it up, seeing that I can't remember anything.
A Hope so. That is new.
Hope that is new. Hey, there's a huge release coming out tonight at midnight. Are you going?
No, because I'm going to be asleep. I'm just going to get it tomorrow.
Me too. Are you picking it up?
Yeah, I've already pre-ordered it.
So. Are you getting it for PS3 or for Xbox?
Oh,
you
Xbox, because that's what I have.
Yeah. Now I can't be in your gang. We're talking about Grand Theft Auto 5.
We are. You know what? When it eventually, inevitably gets released for the PC, we'll do it then.
Yeah, because I'm going to definitely pick it up for that.
Yeah, because it'll probably look 1,000 times better, which is pretty crazy because it looks pretty awesome already.
I can't believe that they pulled those type of graphics out of this.
I know. I was watching some of the videos today of people that are playing on, you know, PS3 and Xbox, and it's just like, that's not next gen? Like, why do we need a next gen? That looks pretty freaking good.
Yeah, it looks really amazing. And I am, you know, all the reviews have come out and tons of 90 pluses on the game saying that it is the most fun-filled open world game that they've ever seen. It's insane. They've done it again.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be game of the year.
Most likely. It looks awesome. I'm excited.
It really does. You know what else looks awesome?
What's that?
Some news.
And now the headlines with Doug and Jeremy. We're bringing you the biggest news stories of the week.
The biggest piece of news this week is that my gangster news translation was a huge success.
No.
We had 100% of people say that it sucked. So that means it's going to keep going. Huge 100%. Success.
Wait. No one liked it?
No. Everyone hated it.
I told you. You thought I was alone.
I just really thought I had something. So biggest news of the week. I failed. That's okay. I'm going to hit him up with something pretty tasty this week as soon as I think about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to dream up something big.
Yeah.
Dreaming up something big here is a spinoff leading with our news is that Warner Brothers has announced that Harry Potter will be getting some more films with J.K. Rowling set to write the scripts. It's her first time doing any kind of screenwriting. And Warner Brothers can't let this thing die. They have to. It's made the most money in history the series has of film.
Yeah, it's like the highest grossing film.
Highest
of all
grossing.
Time.
That's what I was looking for, and it's unbelievable that they can come together and just be like, yeah, let's do some more movies. And I guess you're the expert here in Harry Potter. So I'm going to let you explain to everybody what the textbook Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them originated from and what this whole thing is about.
Okay. Well, the book is in the series. I forget which book it actually shows up in, but it's one of the textbooks that he has to get. And then a couple of years ago, she released two little like companion books, I guess. And that was one of them, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Quidditch Throughout the Ages. Where there's these two little books.
Nothing too big. You know, maybe, how many pages?
Oh man, like max like 50 each. Like I'm talking like little tiny books that were just for fun, just little fun.
And you
books.
Know what? She probably charged like $10 and made $1 billion off of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think you get them together for like 15, or you can get them separately for like 10. Crazy. You know, it was just like they were sold for charity. Like they benefited a charity, Comic Relief, I believe. And so they're adapting the movie off of the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
And I'm sure that you've read it.
I have not.
What?
Yeah, these are the like the two books that I do not own from the series.
Okay, I can't believe that you have a tattoo from the Harry Potter series.
Yeah,
and you haven't read.
Well, because this doesn't seem like something that actually interested me in the series. It was just like a little kind of cheesy textbook that was.
So
you know,
I
like,
can't count on you to give me any kind of information about this right now.
What I can tell you is that the movie will follow the author of the book, and it is set in 1920s New York City. I can tell you that.
Interesting. So probably no magic whatsoever.
Well, there will still be magic. Magic existed in the book series much longer than most human civilizations have.
If it's in New York City,
when does that matter?
They're not allowed to use magic.
Huh?
They're not allowed to use magic outside of the school, right?
Right, but this person is an adult, so they can.
Oh, they can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this dude is like writing his book, and so he's going around the world trying to find these beasts. So I'm sure that's what we'll see. And they're saying it's going to be a series. It's not even just going to be like a one-off movie.
Yeah, I know. How many movies do you think they can get out of this?
Realistically, 3.
Hmm. And then they'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, then after that, they'll figure something else out.
I thought that J.K. Rowling was supposed to create more books in the series and like.
She has rumored it. She's talked about that she's doing an encyclopedia from, like, you know, the Wizarding World as a complete whole, like, from the beginning of, I guess, written history through, like, now.
I guess that would be beneficial because of the fact that she's probably thinking, too, that, hey, after I'm gone, other people can kind of take this, like, Star Wars and kind of make their own kind of movies within the world that she created, because there's a million stories you can tell. There's a ton.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just you can pull off anything you really wanted to.
I mean, if you look at it, we followed in just Harry Potter. I mean, you follow Harry Potter, his three friends, and a couple of students, and you know, other random people. And so, like, here she is telling a story of just some random dude that wrote a book that's like just a throwaway name and stuff from one of the other from.
Yeah, all he did was write a book.
All he did was write a book, and like you know, they mentioned it like once in the book series, and here it is. She's written another book based on it, and now she's writing a movie based on it. So, like you said, she's writing. You know, I'm sure she's thinking of all this through that way. This is something that can continue to go on for. It's kind of like Tolkien. Tolkien, like, he still has stuff being published, and it's like, dude, you've been dead for like 30, 40 years now.
I know.
How are you doing this?
He just wrote and was like, release this one in 2000.
No, exactly. They released one back in like 2007. It was called like The Children of Huron, and it was released by him and his son because he had started writing it back in like 1913 and never published it. And then his son found it and was like, "Oh crap, he almost finished this. Let me add a couple of things. Okay, now let's publish it." And it's like, how is there still stuff for this?
Like,
this dude
nuts.
Wrote so much stuff.
It's crazy. It's just the stuff that you leave behind. And you know what? At the time, who knew that the I'm sure he never would have imagined that the trilogy would be as big as it is. And
no.
the you know, spawning movies and, you know, he's got to be looking down going, very cool.
Yeah. I was reading a thing a while back talking about how in the 70s, 60s and 70s, like kind of like the hippie movement really picked up his work and like really kind of took it on as their own and stuff just because of like the whole like elves and the children of nature and blah, blah, blah. And apparently he hated that. He was like, Tell these freaking hippies to get a job.
That's funny. Well, he's just writing. Like, that's his job.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at least he was like successful at it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. In other news, AMC has a couple double hitters. One just slammed our faces into the desks this morning, not in pain, but in disbelief.
Yeah.
Total disbelief. AMC is planning spinoffs to two of their biggest shows that they produce. One of them is a Breaking Bad prequel, which is going to be called Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one.
And it's going to star Saul, the lawyer, who is just a shady member of society, slime ball. If you've watched the show, you know what we're talking about.
What they've said about this one, and I like, is that just he's a man who will do anything it takes not to get into the courtroom. Like, he's a lawyer, and he'll do anything not to go into the court of law, which I think is hilarious. And I hope that's what it is. I hope it's kind of like a nothing to do with Breaking Bad, nothing to do with, like, maybe not too serious, a little funny, just a slime ball doing whatever it takes, you know, just, you know, back alley deals and just, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, man, there's a witness that, well, good news. I've got a guy, you know.
He'll take care of you.
Yeah. Exactly. I just hope that it's just like sleazy and I don't know, funny. I hope it's funny. After Breaking Bad, I hope this show's a little funny.
Yeah, because you know, I've not stayed close to Breaking Bad, but every time Sunday comes around, right when I'm laying in bed, I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and all I see is just people exploding on how dramatic and like how edge of seat that this show is. And I got to check it out someday.
Yeah, I haven't watched this season. I just finished season, like, it's dumb how they're doing this. It's like season 5 is like part 1
half
and 2
of the season. Yeah,
yeah, so I've just caught up on last.
They do the same
summers.
Thing with Suits.
Suits.
Right. I'm a huge fan of Suits. And they do 10 episodes in the summer and then 10 episodes in the winter, and that becomes one season. But they count it as a separate season. So it's dumb. I think they did that with Walking Dead last year.
Walking Dead, yeah, it aired from, like, you know, in October it started and aired for, what, 8 weeks straight? And then they took, like, a month or 2 months break, and then it came back. Yeah, because it came back in, like, February.
Yeah, and they're like,
that kind of makes sense. It's just a winter break, kind of like, okay. But, yeah, I mean, this is, well, we aired it last summer. We're going to wait a year and air the rest of it the next summer.
It's stupid. Speaking of The Walking Dead, that is our second and I in my eyes, the biggest news is the Walking Dead spinoff, which is going to center around nobody from the comics.
Nobody from the comics. I'm hoping no one from the show. What I really want.
Well,
this is.
I mean, the quote. I mean, if you read the quote, it says, "After 10 years of writing a comic book series, being so close to the debut of season 4, in my opinion, the best season of the TV series." I couldn't be more thrilled about getting the chance to create a new corner, keyword new, of the Walking Dead universe. The opportunity to make a show that isn't tethered by any events in the comic books and is truly a blank page has my creativity racing. That's the writer of
Robert
the show.
Kirkman. Mm-hmm. This is what I want this show to be. One, I hope that they do something smart and because they're talking about doing this to replace shows like Breaking Bad that'll end this summer, that like once they're done, they don't have anything next summer.
Right.
So I hope that it goes Walking Dead, then whatever this new Walking Dead show is. And then that way, when it's done, we're right back to Walking Dead again.
Oh, it's just, oh, you always have Walking Dead in your face.
Yeah. Walking Dead is like a year round experience at this point. And that I love. What I hope they do with this series, which I think would be really interesting, if it was just a bunch of like one and done episodes, like that way.
Oh, so it doesn't really center upon, you just see kind of a personal storyline from so many different people, and then like either A, they survive and they're like, oh, we finished our mission and got some water, or B, they just get totally brutally murdered.
Yeah, that way, because I think we already have a Walking Dead show that focuses on a group trying to survive. Mm-hmm. I don't need a second version of that. Give me just a bunch of little random little stories. Some can be like kind of funny. Some can be dark and like serious. Just a bunch of just how different people all over the United States, maybe the world, are handling this zombie apocalypse.
Okay, now, call me crazy here, but we do know that the army still exists,
more or less,
because of the fact that in the last season, in season 3, we saw an army helicopter with army military get out of it. They get shot down.
Right.
So obviously somewhere there is something set up, a base somewhere of operation.
Theoretically.
What do you think about the series kind of taking a look at the rescue missions of the military and how they're surviving and how the government is operating after what happened?
I think we've seen a lot of that before in other things. I don't think we've seen, I don't know.
It's going to be very difficult. The only reason why I bring it up is because it's going to be very difficult for The Walking Dead to not break that mold of a group kind of atmosphere.
Well, that's why I want them. I think it's imperative that they do it in their new show, because if you make it too similar to the already existing Walking Dead, then what do you have to gain? Then you're not being as creative as he says he is. He's not really working off a blank page. He's just working off of a pre-existing model that they know works.
I haven't paid close attention, and this is just kind of getting off track a little bit because of what I'm looking for in the season four. I'm looking for some answers of why people turn into zombies after they die naturally and where the disease kind of came from. I'm hoping that they make a lot of progress. And
Robert Kirkman has said he will never tell the origins of the virus.
Really?
Or what it is that causes zombies. That is what he said that from the very beginning, because he wants that fear of the unknown. I think it was Alfred Hitchcock said that the scariest thing in the world is the unknown. It's you're the last person on Earth, and suddenly there's a knock at the door. You don't know what's on the other side. There's nothing, you know. Scariest thing.
I definitely see their point in that. That's great. But I would like to see, them kind of make progress towards something like a goal instead of just the survival aspect of it. Because you want to see people like succeed, and it just seems like time and time again, I'm getting tired of them getting dragged through the dirt and mud.
Man, then every don't read the episode. Comic books. Then don't read the comic book. It's just one of those where you're just like, oh my god.
Nothing good happens to these people.
Nothing good's going to happen ever. I mean, and there's moments of like, oh my gosh, like finally, like we've settled down somewhere. Things are, it's been 6 months since we've had to really worry about our safety. This is going great.
Yeah.
And then the wall falls down. And you're like, oh my god, again, here we go. It's never truly.
Oh my god,
solved.
You just told me the.
No, I'm just hypothetical.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Like,
okay. Ooh, I was about to be like, no, you.
No, it's just kind of how it goes. It's like, oh man, we're safe. Nope, no, you're not. You never are. What I think would be really interesting is what if they in the next series, if they did do maybe just a couple episodes of just focusing on like really minor characters, nothing like super, you get maybe this person's story over the course of a season. What if they went back to the retirement home from season one, and those people didn't know at the time, because it was only a month in, that mm-hmm. no matter if you were bit or not, when you died, you turned, and they're a bunch of old people about to die.
Oh, no.
I'm like, you never thought of that, right? Those people are like, oh, man, we're just taking care of our grandmas, yo. And then, like, holy crap. Miss Smith is up and walking.
They
she
would
walk
never,
30 years.
No one would ever die. Those people have dentures. They're walking around with dentures. They can't do anything. What are they going to do?
I don't know, man. I'm just saying. They're like, oh, you only turn if you get bit. But obviously, the show has said, like, no, you don't. You just turn when you die. And all the, they don't have the means to keep these people, going for a couple more years. These people are going to start dropping like flies, and then they're going to have zombies. Lots of them.
It's really frustrating that you have told me that the comic book is nothing. There's no happiness.
Dude, there's no happiness.
And I just, that makes me very sad for the series, because everybody's waiting for the big payoff. And there isn't one.
Not anytime soon, as far as I know.
Goodness. Good grief, man. So, how far along are you in the comic books?
I've read up to, like, issue 106. Out of, there's 113, I think, comes out next month. Or no, 115 comes out next month. So, I'm a couple behind.
It doesn't make any sense. In 113 comics, nothing good has happened.
Nope. I mean, like, awesome stuff has happened. Like, just great storytelling and great characters, but...
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that's all... I'm sure we're going to see all that, but it's just like... I guess it's one of those shows where you could really have 20 seasons and everyone's still like, when are they going to find a peaceful place?
Yeah, I literally don't know, because as... unless they find some cure, which I don't know how they will.
Which they will at the, of course, oh, excuse me.
Yeah, it's they either will, that or everyone dies. Like, that's the only two endings.
Oh,
they,
yeah, yeah.
They get this cheesy, like, we found the cure, now you don't turn when you die. Or everybody dies.
And I think that's where we're going with the show.
Or it's like, maybe some people don't turn when they die. And it's like a, like...
Why are they not turning?
Yeah, because, like, maybe they weren't exposed to something, and maybe it's not genetically passed along.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
I mean, we don't... I mean, who knows? I don't know. Right. So...
Well, in other news, in other zombie news that we probably don't care about...
No, I'm looking at it, I don't care at all.
Jerry Bruckheimer is set to produce Beverly Hills Cop 4, still developing Bad Boys 3 and Top Gun 2. So... If you've been following this news at all, it seems that Beverly Hills Cop shot a pilot episode, which went over, like, we talked about it in a past episode. The studios loved it. They loved it, but nobody bought it. I don't know whether it had to do with it was going to be too expensive, if What's-His-Face wanted too much money, Eddie Murphy. I just don't know, but now it's being picked up by Paramount. To come on board for Beverly Hills Cop 4. So it doesn't... I don't know what's going on, but we're going to get all those movies at some point. So get ready for that.
Yeah.
In other sequel movies news, the Star Wars spinoff movies will be origin story films. That does not say rumor. They're quoting and saying that's what's going to happen.
That is a quote. A direct quote.
A direct quote. And it goes like... this. I don't have the quote. How do I not have the quote? It should be right here.
Yeah, it looks like it's like missing from the picture. Who says it?
It didn't come over. Variety.
Yeah, it's in there.
A quote came from a story in Variety. Let me see if I can pull it up on the internet. Ay. Stall them.
Yeah. So, you know, when he looks up, boys looking this up, they're talking about, like, Boba Fett, obviously. They're talking about Yoda origin, and then Han Solo, obviously, the three characters that we've heard talked about the most. As you know, my opinion, I don't really want to see origin stories for any of them. Boba Fett might be the coolest, but, like, Yoda, what makes him so awesome is just how he's just a, you know, there's no other one. He's, like, all alone in the galaxy. There's not really any other of his species. We don't know what his species is. We don't know where he's born. We don't know where he came from. We don't know how he was discovered as to be a Jedi. Except there is another one in episode one named Yaddle. And who cares about her? But and then Han Solo. I have issues with this because they're going to hire someone that I don't like. And then it's just, I don't know. They have to make him like a teenager almost for me to believe that he's going to turn into Harrison Ford. Because if you make him like, oh, he's in his 20s, then you just
he
can't
has
do it.
To look like
do it.
Mar- yeah. Here's a quote that I don't like. I hate when Hollywood just spews this kind of garbage from their mouths. The market is extremely hot for everything Star Wars. Oh, it lights on fire. I hate it. Touted that strong sales of toys, blah, blah, blah. This is not a new franchise for kids, he's quoted saying. And he's also quoted on saying the appeal of the 35-year-old Star Wars franchise will grow in new ways around the world. The sky's the limit, said the potential of the sci-fi franchise, including expanding its presence to company theme park, incredible flexibility. Oh my goodness, why can't I find this?
I don't know. But I don't, it's really dumb that they would say something like, you know,
here we go.
There's a market for it, and yet then they've just... like just canned the Clone Wars, which was like their probably biggest grossing like Star Wars endeavor. The fact that Lego is still making Lego Clone Wars like Star Wars sets is ridiculous to me.
Russolo also noted that one Star Wars trilogy film or origin film would appear on the release schedule every single year, starting with the 7th installment of the Star Wars saga. So 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19. We will have a Star Wars something in theaters every year, which blows my freaking mind.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's nuts, man, because they're just like giving everybody what they wanted to begin with instead of like putting out the garbage of like, oh, let's do a new prequel. give the reins to somebody else, somebody who's creative, somebody who has new ideas, bring it to the table. I love the origin story idea. I love the trilogy idea. I can't wait. It's going to be great. Anyways, we've spoken so much about Star Wars. Warner Brothers says that Ben Affleck's Batman will be tired, weary, and seasoned. And there's been a couple updates since then. So
yeah, just a few. Pretty much saying that it's not officially titled Batman versus Superman, even though they've trademarked all those websites. I don't know. I this is what he should be. If they're going to say that it's based on the Frank Miller Batman, you know, Dark Knight Returns, and that this is he needs to be weary, seasoned, and tired. Except, I don't know. That guy was also 55 years old. So, did you see? Not really related to this per se, but the Justin Bieber picture that's been floating around and people are getting all pissy about.
Yeah, the fake one.
Yeah, where he's holding up. Well, it's like it's a real picture, but it's like apparently it's for Funny or Die.
Yeah, it's a Funny or Die.
Yeah,
little skit thing he's doing.
Yeah, so the picture is he posted on his Instagram. It's him holding a script, this Batman versus Superman script, and it has like Bieber written, you know, like stamped on it, and it's supposed to be like, you know, like he's, and he put like hashtag Robin, like question mark. And people just lost their shit. It's like, oh my God, Justin Bieber's going to be Robin. Which is funny because it says on the script, adapt, you know, based on such and such by Frank Miller, which in that story, Robin is a girl. So my guess is that Funny or Die is going to be like, they bring him in because it's Robin's a girl.
I really hope that's what's going to happen.
I hope that's what like the joke is. Like, so I hope that's the punchline. But people just lost their shit. It was just like, oh my God, no. Obviously fake.
It'd be awesome. Yeah, it's definitely fake. And, you know, people actually wrote news stories on it, which is, it's amazing what you can, people are so gullible nowadays. It's so dumb.
Yeah, I had friends post on it on Facebook, and I was like, fake. This is so fake. Because even one of the stories I read, they posted, like, obviously this is fake because he posted, like, hours before that, like, about to do something that is either going to be funny or is going to get me killed.
Yeah, exactly. One last story that we have here, in worst name to choose for a website ever is Rotten Tomatoes launching new TV Zone. That's the name of it, dude.
TV Zone?
TV Zone.
What exactly is it? I didn't really get to read this one. Is it just Rotten Tomatoes for
TV? It's Rotten Tomatoes for TV. But they named it TV Zone. How could you come up with a name like Rotten Tomatoes and then just be like, oh, TV Zone sounds good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it works. It's called the TV Tomato Meter. Tongue twister. Will work much the same way that the movie Tomato Meter does. We're aggregating reviews the same way that we've always been. I think that, I'm not a huge fan of Rotten Tomato for like TV shows and stuff like that. I really love Metacritic.
Yeah,
Metacritic does a really good job with pulling together all the reviews and then giving it a kind of a number. Rotten Tomato works. I like it. I don't really watch or I don't when I go see a movie. I never pay attention to the critics. My buddy Jeff always does, and he will always judge a movie based on the critic before we see it. And I never do because
they're wrong always.
They're always wrong. And, you know, Jeff has always said, you know, well, if it's a low score, you know, it's probably going to be good because the fans loved it. And if it's a high score, that means that it's a stupid drama. And so I never pay attention to them. I just see what I want to see. And if, you know, once in a while I'll gander over just if it's like a summer blockbuster that I'm really going to love. I'm like, oh, they love it. But, yeah, for the most part, they always seem wrong. So, but they're launching a new TV Zone. Go check it out if you're interested in it. But
TV Zone. It's so bad.
A terrible name.
That's bad. There was one more story that I sent you. It's not that big of a deal. We just finally got a name for the new Jurassic Park movie. Since we've talked about it a couple times.
Oh, yeah. You know, you did post that on the Facebook. Sometimes I forget to, all the time, I forget to take a look at that.
We post stuff all week long. Just constantly
I'm sorry.
Posting
you know what? I'm the only one here who puts together these notes.
That's why I give them to you. It's like, hey, check out this note. Hey, check out this. You should throw. Hey, look at the notes. I'm giving the notes for this.
So Jurassic Park's gonna be called Jurassic World. Goodbye.
Jurassic World. Ba-boom.
I have these Dolby headphones on.
Yeah.
And it's always like all surround sound. It's just crazy. All right, coming at number 5 on the list is We're the Millers, making $5.4 million for a total of $132 million. Holy crap.
The movie that will not die.
Seriously. It's been in the top 5 for 6 weeks now. Yep. That's crazy. It's comedy. Number 4 is Lee Daniels' The Butler, which is crossing the $100 million mark this week with $5.54. We'll get a sequel. Number 3 is Riddick, with making $31.1 million total. After pulling in $6.84 million this week. In 2 weeks, it's made $31 million. Definitely making its money back. Definitely getting another Riddick film. Definitely got to go see it. Number 2, The Family, which you were so excited about.
I'm not even going to joke about it. Not even remotely.
$14 million it pulled in. And number 1, I cannot believe people. Insidious Chapter 2, $40.3 million. Horror movies are so big right now.
Dude, I know. What is the deal? Because what was the other one that came out recently?
I don't know. Something Zodiac called? Killer?
No. What was it called? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know what it was called. It was called Torture Porn / Ghost in Your Bed.
Oh, that was not it. That was a different movie. Mm. That was that one that I told you to torrent. Oh, I wish I could remember it. You stall him while I look it up. Is that one? But it also did really well, is my point.
You look it up. All right. Number 6, I'll run through a couple things. Planes is actually making a little bit money in the back. Disney is happy about that. It's made a total of $83 million so far. So they're well on their way after DVD sales. I think they're probably going to break even, which is going to be incredible. No one anticipated that happening. Another movie that I could not believe that was directed by Morgan Spurlock was the One Direction movie, and it came in at number 8. You helped make this movie make $27 million after it probably only took $500,000 to make because the man only uses one camera ever. So that's made a lot of money. Very disappointing movie of the year. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, came in at number 10. It's only made $62 million so far. They really had high hopes for this series. They thought it was going to be the next Harry Potter.
Yeah. What are you going to do? It's terrible.
I don't know. But in latest news, I worked today, and I got sweaty, and I got to work out after this. I'm going to go ride my my mountain bike around the neighborhood. And please tell me you found the link. Or the
nope.
Name.
I cannot remember what that movie was. It just came out a couple weeks ago. It's by the same people that did Insidious. And it was just another one of their terrible movies that just came out. And I cannot find it. And I hate that I can't find it. Oh, my gosh. Crap. Oh, man. What was the other one that just came out? It was literally just a few weeks ago. But it also made like $40 million its opening weekend. And we were just like, what is happening? Why are all these horror movies doing so well?
I don't know. Sorry, my wife just came in.
What? Oh, my God.
You gotta shut the door,
Ashley.
She's making rookie mistakes.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, anyways, we're gonna move on because we can't find it. So opening this week, starting with The Prisoners, starring Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. It is the Zodiac spotlighted Jake Gyllenhaal as a detective who's the finest roles to date. Blah blah. It doesn't give me any information.
Oh. Yeah, like really doesn't tell you what it's about. When Keller Dover's daughter,
When Keller Dover's daughter and her friend goes missing, he takes matters into his own hands as the police pursue multiple leads and pressure mounts.
How far will
desperate father go to protect his family? I've seen previews of this. It looks really pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw, I don't remember being called Prisoners, but we saw something for this. What movie did we go see that we saw a preview for this?
One of the ones that we saw.
Oh, man. It was one of those action movies. Because I think that Jason was there with us. And I think he was like, mm-mm. It may have been
No, I said that.
Oh.
I said, uh-uh, because I can't deal with anything like kids going missing.
Yeah.
It was
I know we saw some at World's End, but we saw the World's End that too.
No, it was the World's End because I leaned over to you and I said, nope, not going to do it. Nope, yeah, not going to do
it. I just feel like we saw a trailer before that, because I remember being like, oh yeah, this one. Because I remember like it was the second time I had seen the trailer, but I can't remember the first time I saw it.
I don't remember.
I feel like it was at the Movie Tavern on 7th. I don't know. But yeah, it's got Terrence Howard and Paul Dano. And
It looks like it's going to be a hit. So that should be the movie to go see if you're going to go see a movie this weekend. Mm-hmm. But if you're a teenager, and also if you're a
fan of shitty movies...
I was going to say that next. And if you are in your 20s and 30s and have no mind whatsoever, and you want eye candy and music in the background, Battle of the Year.
Yep.
I can't wait to go see it.
It looks so bad.
Battle of the Year attracts the best teams from around the world, but the Americans haven't won in 15 years. Dante enlists Blake to assemble a team of the best dancers and bring the trophy back to America, where it started. Terrible. All right, now you do the next one. Movie voice it.
Okay, so the next one is... There's a bunch of movies that no one ever is going to care about.
Come on.
All right, this one's called Enough Said.
No, movie voice it.
Well, hold on. We're going to go over who's in it. All right, I'll just say... Okay. Enough Said, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini, Catherine Keener and Toni Collette. A divorced woman who decides to pursue the man she's interested in learns he's her new friend's ex-husband.
See, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to read off of this stuff.
Also, it just sounds terrible.
Yeah, it does sound terrible. Anyways, it's the next terrible. One we got is Thanks for Sharing as well. Romantic comedy, blah, 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 with Mark Ruffalo, Tim Robbins, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Josh Gad. There's something called Sex Addiction. They all love it. They all hate it. They all need it. And go see it.
Ugh.
Did you go see any movies this weekend? We have really been on a pause here because there really hasn't been anything in theaters.
Yeah, we got hit like every week with like summer blockbusters and blah, blah, blah. And then we get like crap like Riddick.
Are you watching closely?
I will forever play this song just to see you dance. I do not care if we have nothing to talk about with movies this week.
I did watch a movie today, a documentary. It was called Best Worst Movie was the name of the documentary. And it is about the movie Troll 2.
You know what? That has made they actually play that. I'm sure you watched this in the documentary. They actually still have a festival every year where they rewatch it.
Yeah, I mean, they were at like Alamo Draft House down in Austin, and like just all these places that do these screenings and stuff. And it follows. It's made by the young son in the movie. He's the one that's making the documentary, and it's him and like a bunch of the actors getting together and going to like these screenings and just talking about like just how embarrassed they were after it came out and how terrible it was and just like. How they're so surprised that there's like this huge cult following and them going and doing all these signings and just being like thrown into this world they didn't even know existed. It's pretty awesome. It was really entertaining.
That's pretty neat.
So it's on Netflix. I highly recommend checking it out. If you haven't seen Trolls 2, Halloween season's right around the corner. So do yourself a favor and watch the best worst movie of all time.
Do it.
It's like on IMDb, it's rated at like the worst movie. It is like literally at the bottom of the list.
Really? It's not Geely?
No, I think it actually beat that.
Wow. All
right, it has like a 0% rating.
Well, I suggest you go check it out then right away.
Yeah.
Bye.
Box.
I can't believe we're already there.
It has been a very fun episode. I think that we have... enjoyed talking to each other so much. All right, so coming in this week is a big week. Lots of stuff coming out on Blu-ray. First one up is World War Z. Buy,
man.
Box, or burn.
Box it. I didn't particularly enjoy it. I know some people did, so I will not burn it this time.
Okay, and how about The Bling Ring?
That got like a 7 out of 10. And I've heard some decent things. Plus, apparently, Hermione kind of gets a little sexy in it. So I'll say box it.
Awesome. And Crystal Lake Memories, the complete history of Friday the 13th.
This is like a documentary, so it'll probably be right up my alley. It's going to be a box. I like Friday the 13th, but this doesn't seem like one I'm going to own. But Jason may want it.
Yeah. And Friday the 13th.
He's got a kick right now.
Yeah, he's on a kick. Friday the 13th, the complete collection Blu-ray.
Holy crap. Is this all of them?
That's all of them, and Amazon has it listed for $94.
Holy Christ. Oh, man. Oh, man. I want it. Oh, this may be a buy for me. I'm going to check it out.
It is a 10-disc Blu-ray.
Oh, man. Hold on, I got to see which ones are on it.
Okay, okay, you got Friday the 13th.
Part 2, Part 3.
You got the final chapter, five. A New Beginning.
No, 6. Where's 6?
Where's 6?
Oh, there it is. That's a double-sided.
Oh, okay, double-sided.
Friday, yeah, whew. 5, 6, 7, 8. Jason Takes Manhattan. Ridiculous. Jason Goes to Hell.
Jason X.
Oh,
Freddy versus good. Jason.
And then
the newest one, Friday the 13th.
Theatrical version and killer cut extended version.
And then you get killer bonus DVD disc.
What was there a new one in 2009? How did I miss that?
It's a remake.
I don't remember it.
Crazy boy.
This is a buy for me. I am going to buy this when I'm not spending $94. Oh man, but it's $130 normally. That is going on my Christmas wish list.
All right, and the next one that will be on my Christmas wish list is the Tremors Attack Pack. Boy, all four movies.
Oh my god.
And it is awesome. I hope that you okay, buy box or burn.
Oh, this is definitely on my buy already.
This even though the sequels got like really ridiculous, yeah. I love this series for some reason. It's my cult movie.
Yeah, it is. This is my favorite time of the year because this is when they start re-releasing all these really terrible 80s horror films that are some of the best movies ever made. Like we were just talking Trolls 2. Like I'm telling you. Like, that's right up there. All these Jason movies are like, oh, they're so bad, they're so good. Like, Jason X is so bad. He's so good. It's Jason in space. It's ridiculous.
I'm trying to think of a horror movie. Okay, so we have Frankenstein. We have The Bride of Frankenstein. And then we have The Wolfman. And we have Dracula.
Yeah.
Do it.
There's
rapid fire. Man.
There's a couple of Dracula movies coming out, so get the original one. Definitely get the Frankenstein's, The Bride of Frankenstein. Those are good. The original Wolfman. Like, come on. Like, man, this is tough because I love these movies. These are movies that I enjoy because they're just these old horror films. So they're amazing. If you don't like them, then don't get them. But oh my god, at least rent them, or you know, find them online, find them on Netflix, something.
Cool.
Same thing as Day of the Dead is another one that's on this list.
Day of the Dead. I didn't.
Yeah, it is the. I guess it's technically part 3 in Romero's of the Dead series. There's Night, Dawn, Day. Day is really weird. It's like an army bunker. That one I will say box. I own it, but box. I wouldn't buy it again.
Awesome. All right. That's all of our. That wraps up our show. But I did want to ask you one thing. There is one horror movie that I watched, and it's something that I want to rewatch, and I can't remember the name of it. You're going to have to help me here. It is one of the bloody. It's named one of the bloodiest horror films of all time.
Brain Dead.
No. And it has a woman on the cover.
Uh huh.
And a skeleton coming out of her mouth.
Brain Dead.
No. Not dude, Brain Dead.
I'm looking at it right now. Brain Dead.
It's not Brain Dead.
It absolutely is.
All right, let me look. Dead it Alive.
Is, oh, also called Brain Dead.
Oh, really? Yeah. In 1990?
It is by Peter Jackson, also director of Lord of the Rings.
It was Peter Jackson? Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the greatest, most silly, disgusting movies of all time.
I watched that movie, and I just was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it was dead. It's Dead Alive in like the States, and then in New Zealand where it came out, I guess it was Brain Dead. It's one of those movies that it's always either title for me because I've known it as both.
Very cool.
But, yeah, dude, it's a Peter Jackson movie.
Yeah, it looks. It was so much fun. I love that movie. So that's one of the things that I enjoyed the most was one of the horror films that I really loved. Is that, like, that's the kind of horror stuff I like. Like, I like the Freddy's, the Jason's, that kind of film. These mm-hmm. kind of things. I absolutely love. One of my favorite horror films of all time is the. Oh my God! Why can't I think of it now? Bruce Campbell.
The Evil Dead series.
Evil Dead series. Love yeah. the Evil Dead series. I just love the comedy aspect that you bring to it a little bit. So, you know, stuff that just is silly, it's just funner. It's just really a lot of fun, and that's the kind of stuff that I like. We're coming up on Halloween, so definitely check out some horror films that are coming out. Maybe what we can do is we can get Doug to do a little write-up of his favorite horror films for you to check out, put it on the website.
For sure.
And that way you guys can check out some cool stuff, because he is the resident knowledge breaker maker guy of horror.
Yeah. God dang it. Sorry. I was reading something while I was trying to like talk. And so that never works out well for me. I don't even remember what I was going to say.
Come on.
Oh, I love scary movies. Oh, man.
That was the worst. All right.
Oh, man.
Thank
Hold
you,
on.
Guys.
Oh, my God. Thank Hold you, on. Guys. Give me like 2 seconds.
You got 2 seconds and then I'm ending the show. This has been another edition of Real Talk. My name is Jeremy. My name is Jeremy.
And this is Doug. I can't find that movie and it's making me so mad.
Check back next week. Maybe you can find the movie. Goodbye, guys.